Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Santa Claus, when there's so much unhappiness in the world.
Poor, misguided folks. They missed the whole point. Lots of unhappiness? Maybe so. But doesn't Santa take a little bit of that unhappiness away? Doesn't a smile on Christmas morning scratch out a tear cried on a Saturday? Not much, maybe. But what would happen if we all tried to be like Santa and learned to give, as only he can give, of ourselves, our talents, our love, and our hearts? Maybe if we could all learn Santa's beautiful lesson, maybe there would finally be peace on earth and goodwill toward man.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you.
Now, really.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Who could have a serious problem with that? I mean, really, let's not be too Scroogey here. Who could have a serious problem with Santa Claus at Christmas time, right? I mean, that makes a pretty compelling case. And if my voice sounds all messed up, that's because it is. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. I do have a cold. I'm sick. I got all kinds of stuff up in my throat and my chest, plus fighting a newfound case of shingles. So I'm a little under the weather today, but wanted to get in here and spend this time with you, of course. Hello to all my friends on Facebook Live. So you want to join us. Excuse me, I'm sorry. If you want to join us there, facebook.com/C2A Radio, and you can dive right into the studio here. Today, the annual Santa Claus show, so I want to go ahead and give you the phone number and open up the phone lines. And how do you deal with Santa in your house? And let me just ask a very pointed question. If you, as a Christian family, most likely, this is Christian radio after all, if you do Santa Claus, if you do the whole Santa Claus thing, and by the way, this is my warning to you. I'm going to give you a warning that we are talking about the big guy in red. We're going to have a very adult conversation today during the show. So this is your warning. If you have little kids around, if your children, it's not my place. I don't feel it's my place to come into your house and deal with this particular subject. And so I'm giving you a friendly warning that we're talking about the big guy in red today on the show. And speaking about the big guy in red, my favorite Santa Claus, I call him the evangelical Saint Nicholas, the evangelical Santa Claus, is a friend of mine who's going to call in later today. His name's Jim Dyer. He hails from right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Unbelievable guy. He's been a corporate chaplain, a veteran, flew helicopters in Vietnam, just a phenomenal man, a godly man, husband, father, and friend. And he's been playing Santa Claus for years, but he's an evangelical Santa Claus. And right now, he's up in the Big Apple. He's in New York City. He's gotten all kinds of incredible opportunities in the last few years with the USO, and he was doing stuff in Europe last year, and he was on Fox and Friends. So this year, he's got this gig. He's in New York City right now. He's playing. There's two Santa Clauses that are part of the Rockette show at Radio City Music Hall, their big Christmas show. So he's up there. He's going to call in the last segment of the show and tell us a little bit about the history of Santa Claus and how he kind of got into this and how he uses his role as, and he looks like Santa Claus, all the traditional feelings. I mean, and the Coca-Cola ads, that whole nine, he looks just like that. He has beautiful Santa Claus outfits, including one that's all camouflage. He uses that with the military a lot. Super, super cool. Great, godly guy. So Jim Dyer's going to call in the last segment of the show today and share his experience as Santa Claus and why he does that and how he uses his Santa Claus to do kingdom work and tell us a little about his cool gig up there in New York City with the Rockettes. But today the question is, should we as parents, as Christian parents, should we be doing the Santa Claus thing, telling our kids that Santa is real? And if you do that, are you a sinner? Are you sinning when you play Santa Claus, when you allow your children, or you propagate the position that Santa Claus is real, that on the night of December 24th this year, somewhere after midnight, after everybody goes to bed, jolly old Saint Nick is going to make it around the world somehow with his magic powers on his sleigh with his reindeer, and he's going to pop down through your chimney or whatever and bring your kids toys, and they leave them cookies and milk and all that stuff. It's fun. And in the morning, boo, what did Santa Claus bring you? If you do that, are you a sinner? Is that a sin? Because you are lying. And God's word is not ambiguous when it comes to the issue of lying. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things that God hates, is lying lips. So what do you think, and how do you handle Santa in your house? And maybe you change directions. That's what we did. When our oldest son was, I think he was 8 or 9. He's 22 now, but we came under conviction that we were misleading, purposely misleading our children, and felt that it wasn't right for us. And so we switched gears, and that wasn't a lot of fun that particular Christmas. Christmas season, it was in December, and he was bumming out, and his little sister wasn't doing too great. And our younger ones, our two younger ones, who are now 16 and 12, have never really been down that road. Dr. Dobson, of course, focused on the family and now his radio show. This is what he said. I don't believe that those early fantasies really interfere with later spiritual beliefs. I haven't seen any evidence of that, either in the life of my kids or in the lives of those I've had anything to do with. To allow a little bit of fantasy in a child's life enriches his intellectual life, and I think he needs it. Children thrive on fantasy. It enriches our mental existence. I'd like to see the facts on that. Reality can be pretty cold and hard place. I think children need the fantasy that Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, and other childhood mythical creatures bring. And Dr. Bill Meyer, who's also has been involved with Focus on the Family for years, said childhood fantasies can be fun and help develop a child's imagination. As long as the fantasies are not unhealthy, there's no need to correct your kids any earlier than necessary. So what do you think about the whole Santa thing and Christian parents? 866-348-7884. And I would love for you to call in and share how you handle it. If you still do the Santa thing, why? How do you grapple with the fact that we're misleading our children when we do that? And I'm sure you have some good reasons if you want to call in and share that. 866-348-7884. Plus, you'll help my voice today by me not doing all the talking. I've got some very interesting articles here that I've found. Every year I find a lot of interesting things on Santa Claus, so I want to share those with you if we have time, but I'd love to hear from you. Or if you're flat out, we've never done it because we don't believe in it, and here's why. Or perhaps you've changed direction, like my wife and I did several years ago. Or maybe you're thinking about changing direction. 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And then my favorite, my personal favorite Santa Claus, I call him the Evangelical Santa, my good friend Jim Dyer, who's just joined us here on Facebook Live. He's the best Santa Claus I've ever known. And he's up in New York City right now playing Santa Claus with the Rockettes and their Christmas show, which is super cool. We're going to hear from him at the end of the show and hear a little bit of the history of Santa Claus and why he does what he does all today on Call to Action. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's the annual Call to Action Radio Santa Claus show, talking about the big guy in red and how you handle that at your house. So this is your second warning I'll give you. If you have little ears around, you don't want yours truly getting in the middle of that business in your house. This would not be a good day for you to stay tuned in. Maybe you can grab the podcast later or watch on Facebook Live later when you can control the environment. So we might put it that way. And by the way, yes, I am sick. That's why I'm sounding a lot like Glenn Beck today. Hello, this is Glenn Beck. But it isn't. It's Steve Noble. I love the real Jesus. I'm not a Mormon. But we should pray for Glenn Beck and anybody else that's fallen prey to a false religion like Mormonism. But I digress. Today, talking about Santa Claus. How do you handle Santa in your house? And then we've got my favorite Santa Claus calling in live from New York City. At the end of the show today, Jim Dyer. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be great. But give us a call, 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884. I have no interest in ruining your Christmas cheer, so I will not beat you up if I disagree with you on this issue. I'll never beat you up if I disagree with you. But just love to have that conversation and talk through it, and our conversation together can help the other people listening on the radio, who many of whom probably grapple with this, and should you do it, should you not? Is there a time that it's okay and a time that it isn't? And so how do you handle that? 866-348-7884 on the issue of Santa Claus today. Should you or should you not? And if you do, is that a sin? 866-34-TRUTH is the number. 866-348-7884. Let's go to our first Santa Claus caller. Monique's calling in from Greensboro, North Carolina, or I thought she was calling in. We just lost Monique. So give us a call back, and we'd love to hear from you how you handle Santa Claus at your house. 866-348-7884. 7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Sorry, I'm drinking water and tea and all kinds of stuff to try to keep my voice working while I do the show. Let me read you this. This is from Gospel-Centered Mommy blog. She's a pretty good writer, and I've read her stuff in the past. I think she handles this well. She goes, I believed in Santa. My husband believed in Santa. We turned out okay. We didn't walk away from the Lord or resent our parents. Before we had kids, we figured we would do the whole Santa thing. We wanted Christmas to be as special for them as it was for us. And that's why my wife and I did it, too. We did the whole Santa thing when we were little. But then we actually had kids, and we had a big problem. Santa wasn't going to work. If you've been reading this blog for long, you know that the whole point is to direct us moms and our kids into living out the gospel. So there are four reasons Santa didn't make the Wallace team. So this is the author's family she's talking about. Number one, Santa promotes works righteousness. That might sound harsh, but keep in mind the aforementioned goal, gospel-centeredness. It's a difficult concept to teach because kids are legalistic by nature. Isn't that true? It takes a lot of time, prayer, and thoughtful conversations to help them understand that God loves us because of Christ's good works, not our own. Then along comes Santa. Sigh. Number two, Santa blurs the lines between fact and fantasy. Sometimes my heart aches when I look into their wide eyes and innocent faces and think, they trust me implicitly. I want so dearly to lead them in the truth. Excuse me. If my husband and I throw Santa into the mix of true stories, what would they think later when they find out Santa is not real? How about Noah's Ark? What about the 10 plagues? What about the Jesus guy who was kind of like a religious magician? And that's a point that a lot of people make. Number three, she says, Santa is a type of God. Some of my readers might be rolling their eyes, but think about it. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omnipresent everywhere at once. How could he get around the world if he's not? He is omniscient, all-knowing. He is eternal. He is perfect. He's the whole package. I can't think of another mythical creature that encapsulates so many characters reserved for God. That's a pretty good point. I'll read some more of hers, and then John Piper, not nearly as gentle on the issue, but let me jump over to calling in from Wilson, North Carolina. My screen's kind of messed up. Everything's sick today. So thanks for calling in. Merry Christmas. You're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good, man. Colin, great. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, so I've thought about this and talked to my wife about it before, and here's the way that we went about it. Our kids ended up learning about Santa Claus, not really from us, but from friends, schoolmates, family members. And so what we committed to do, and again, we really didn't think about this much until they started getting a couple of years old, a few years old, but we just decided we weren't going to add anything to it. So we didn't sit down and say, here's Santa Claus. Here's what he is. Here's what he does. But what we did do is we promoted Jesus in our house, obviously. And so in doing so, when they talked about Santa Claus is a person. You see at the mall. He's a person you see all these different places, movies, different things like that.
Yeah.
So in the sense of seeing a person dressed up as Santa Claus, that individual is real. But we minimize their value as well. What we did is the bigger gifts that our kids really looked forward to, we said those are from us. The smaller and more insignificant things, if they were coming overnight, or I guess you could say, they might be reflected as Santa Claus, but we never even said that. They just assumed it because it didn't have a name on it. And so we chose the path of not adding to it, not going into it. And if our kids ever asked us a direct question, and we'd be honest, but yeah, we make it very clear that Christmas is all about Jesus, his birth, and the fact that all things we have come from Jesus.
Did they ever get to a point, Colin, where they were like, okay, so what is the deal with Santa?
No, our older children, which have a 17-year-old girl, a 14-year-old boy, they just figured it out at school, and I think they just kind of don't say much about it because I think they kind of enjoy the fun of just not wanting me to clarify it for them because that's going to kind of take a little bit of the fantasy away from
it. Yeah, the whole
it.
Fantasy thing. Yep, got
and
it.
And they know me well enough to know, and my wife as well, if they do ask, we're going to be honest. And so I think they already know, and they're just like, well, my 17-year-old, she obviously knows.
Right,
my 14-year-old, I can tell he's on the cusp of asking.
Wow, at 14?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's tricking me, man, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Me and my wife,
he knows.
We've debated he's known since he was 10, and he's just playing along.
Yeah, that's so funny. Well, Colin, thanks for calling. I hear you. Thanks.
I was going to say, we appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot.
All right. And Merry Christmas. Thanks. I just got to grab another call. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to Jerichiah, who's calling in from Central Texas. That's pretty cool. The state of my birth. Jerichiah, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing today, sir?
Great, man. How are you? You're welcome.
Pretty good. I'm doing good. Yeah, I just wanted to make a statement, with the Santa thing. You know, I mean, the Bible's clear. I mean, the Bible says, you know, not to lie. It's one of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. And God's serious about it, you know. So if you're going around lying to your children, telling them about some guy who's going to bring them presents and stuff like that, you're deliberately, actually, in the Hebrew, you'd be presumptuously, deliberately lying to them. And
right.
That's actually something God extremely hates in Deuteronomy and the Torah, and you read the scriptures. I mean, God's clear. I mean, people aren't clear, but God's word's clear. He told the people in Leviticus 18:3, after the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, you shall not do. And see, the problem with today is I find too many Christians are too accustomed to celebrating pagan traditions and religions instead of just going by the scripture and God's word.
Sure. Yeah, and I think Jerichiah, that's a great point. Thanks so much for calling in and sharing that today. I think those are some valid points. And we have to look at that. And again, you know, God's going to look at the intent of the heart. And Jerichiah makes a great point. I mean, you can talk about, hey, the origin of Christmas and dealing, coming kind of, why did we pick December 25th? Because we're coming against a pagan holiday that time of year. Same thing with Halloween or even Easter. You can look into stuff at the history of Easter and go, okay, there's some pagan origin to that stuff here. But I can tell you, also, I think I can easily take the position that for the Noble family, when we celebrate Christmas this month, we're not falling into the pagan thing. We're not giving them anything. We're celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I think we have to be careful on that. This is Steve Noble with Call to Action. We'll be right back.
So what are we waiting for?
Welcome back and Merry Christmas. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Yes, it's actually me. I'm just fighting a head cold kind of thing, so my voice is all messed up, and I'm coughing a lot, so sorry about that. Quick reminder, then we'll get back to our conversation on Santa Claus. Should you do it? Should you not? If you do the Santa Claus thing with your kids, are you guilty of a sin? And so if you don't want this conversation going on because you have little ears in the room, this might not be the best day for you to be tuned in to Call to Action Radio. But if you do and want to have that conversation, I'd love to hear from you. We're going to do one more segment taking calls, and then we'll hear from my favorite Santa, Jim Dyer, who I call the Evangelical Santa. He's up in New York City for several weeks. He's one of the two, I think there's two Santas that they have as part of the Rockettes Radio City Music Hall Christmas show. So he's done Santa all over the country, all over the world. I think he's in the Santa Claus Hall of Fame, this whole nine thing. It's so cool. But he loves the Lord. He's been a chaplain. He's a dear friend. And we're going to hear some of his perspective on the Santa Claus thing and the history of Santa Claus and all that in the last segment today. But if you want to chime in on the Santa question, I'd love to hear from you. We still have time for your calls. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884. Or 866-34-TRUTH. Quick reminder about our friends at MediShare, one of our great partners here on the show. Since 1993, over $1 billion in medical expenses shared by fellow Christians. I think they're pushing about 300,000 Christians nationwide, of which one of those families is my family, the Noble family. We became MediShare people about 5 years ago. It's been a huge blessing for us financially, prayer support, knowing that you're helping other Christians around the country. It's been a great way to get a handle on our medical expenses and our medical costs. Like I said, it saved us a ton of money. But find out for yourself. I'm confident you will be blessed. MediShare's phone number, 855-BIBLE-11, now available in Montana. But give them a call, 855-BIBLE-11, 855-BIBLE-11. That's MediShare. And if you want to call in today and you want to share about Santa Claus, I'd love to get your calls before we run out of time. And then we're going to have a Santa Claus call in at the last segment of the show, my friend Jim Dyer, who's calling in from New York City. So that'll be awesome. But if you want to call in and share what you do with your family on Santa, and perhaps you're struggling with it, perhaps you've changed directions like we did about 12 years ago, I'd love to hear that as well. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go to Harvey, who's calling in from Greensboro, North Carolina. Harvey, thanks for calling. Merry Christmas. Go ahead.
Merry Christmas to you. I was just kind of listening to the show, and I know that sometimes we can become very very much sticklers on things concerning what we think the Word says or what it actually says and how we should pursue it. But I thought about it. I said, well, if Santa Claus is such a big deal, then maybe we shouldn't let our children go to amusement parks like Disney World or Carowinds, because their parks are based on fictional characters also. I think I think we know that the intent for believers is the fun or the funniness behind Santa, but every believer should know and articulate in their household that this is all about the birth of Jesus and the reason right. why he came to earth. So I think that sometimes maybe we become hard line on things that we don't want to be hard line on everything about.
Sure.
So if you don't want to celebrate Santa, then you know, don't go to amusement parks. Don't let your children watch cartoons. You know, and don't let them do anything that's fictional.
Well, let me ask you this question. I mean, I would agree with your analogy if I took my kids to Disney World and told them that that's the real Cinderella over there, and that's actually another character, and telling them those characters are real, that they're actual, that, oh, yeah, that girl over there, that's actually Belle from the movie. She came out of the movie, and there she is right there. Do you want to go meet her? Now, do you see my point there, Harvey? Because I think that's where yep. you would be propagating a lie, as opposed to going to Disney, and we know these are just characters based on movies and cartoons and all that kind of stuff, and we know it's all make-believe, and I'm not telling them that it's real versus Santa Claus, where most parents are telling their kids that it's real. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, it does, but I don't think most believers in Jesus are telling their children that Santa Claus is real. I think that they're just using it as one of the fun parts of the holiday. And once again, I am in no way condoning anyone who does not give the actual story of Christ and his birth
right,
coming to
right.
earth. But I think that it's a situation where we already know it's not real. We know it's not real. It's just one of the fun aspects of it. We do have to be careful because of the pagan influence as far as the holiday is concerned. But as you stated earlier, it's in several segments of our worship.
Yeah. No, and those are some great points, Harvey. Yeah, I got you. Harvey, thanks so much for calling in and being a part of the show today, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas. And again, I agree with all those points, but the when you look at the numbers, when you look at the polling on it, and I know a polling, we can only trust it so far, but Christians are evenly split. It's a little bit more that don't do Santa, but about 45, 46, 47% in there do the Santa thing. And when you ask them, are you doing the Santa thing, they're telling their kids that Santa is coming. He's coming down the chimney. He's bringing you gifts. They play the whole thing out. That they're fully committed, right? The chicken's interested. The pig is committed when it comes to breakfast. So that's what I'm talking about. And if you're doing that, I think that it's black and white. I think we all know, if we're willing to be completely honest with ourselves and one another, that it's misleading on purpose. And again, that's why I made that point of Disney. And those kind of examples have come up before. And Dr. Dobson say, well, it's just healthy fantasy. Well, when your kid's running around playing Superman at 4 or 5 or 7 or 8 years of age, I'm not going to tell him, hey, you know, the real Superman, you know, if you do a good enough job, the real Superman might come visit you. That's a bold-faced lie. But if they're just playing along because they see Superman, a comic book or a movie or whatever, that's fantasy. I don't have a problem with that. But when we turn fantasy into reality, until they get old enough to ask too many questions, and then we, okay, now I'll tell you the truth. I do have a problem with that. Let's go to, and I think we all should, let's go to Lisa, who's calling in. Lisa, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling today. Merry Christmas. Go ahead.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
I was just going to say, my husband and I both felt strongly when our children were little that we wanted them to believe us when we told them the story of Jesus and how to get saved, and we didn't want to tell them things that weren't true, like Santa, and then be confused later and not understand which one was real and which one wasn't. We never, like, came out and just told them, no, there's no Santa, we're not doing that. We just gave them gifts from us at Christmas. It was still a big surprise on Christmas morning. We celebrated Jesus' birth.
Right.
And then when they got old enough to ask, you know, how come everybody at school talks about Santa and you guys never say anything about it? And we just told them up front, well, because people like to pretend, and we didn't want to pretend. And, you know, we also encouraged them not to go to school when they were old enough to ask and tell other kids that there's no Santa.
Right.
You know, we taught them to respect that if a family decided to do that and play that, you know, fantasy, so to speak, or science fiction with their children, that we didn't want to ruin that for them. And it was never a problem for us.
Yeah, and I think that's some wise counsel, and I think a lot of us can relate to that. Lisa, thanks so much for calling in today.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you again. And And that's one of the tricks if you become an anti-Santa Claus family, right? So that's what happened to us. Our oldest, Hayden, who's now 22, he's down in Florida in Orlando. He's got his first kind of full-time career kind of job. We're thrilled for him. It stinks when your kids start to move away. But I think he was 8 or 9 or 10. I'm not sure if my wife's watching today. But, you know, he might have been. He was right around there. And his questions, he's a smart kid, and he started asking good questions. And then you find yourself with the most ridiculous answers, right? It's just preposterous. And then I was thinking, well, here I am. I'm going out of my way to mislead my son and our other kids right along for the ride. And I just fell under conviction about it and told him, and he was kind of bummed out. And then told, I told Amelia, our daughter, who's 19 now, but I think at the time she was like, so all those gifts we've been getting over the last several Christmases, those all came from you and Mom? I'm like, yeah. Wow, thanks. And that was kind of a neat moment. And then our other kids, you know, but you have to be careful. Like I said before, even here on the radio show, I give that warning because I don't feel it's my place to come into your family and enforce my beliefs, and consequently, I think God's beliefs, about misleading, purposely misleading people, lying, you know, just call it what it is. I don't think that's my place. Now, if you ask me, I'll tell you. If you want my input, I'll tell you. But, you know, we'd have to train your kids. Hey, what about all these other kids that are playing the Santa thing? Plead the fifth. You don't say anything. And if they, well, what do you think about it? You don't think Santa is real? Well, you know, Santa's not a big deal in our house. So you just got to, you play that out. And then ultimately we need to be people of truth, right? So if you get push comes to shove and you're painted into a corner, excuse me, I'm sick. Then you tell the truth, but you have to be careful with that. But there's definitely, I don't think my parents were real thrilled when they found out we weren't doing Santa Claus because that's how I grew up. And listen, that didn't leave some kind of mark in my relationship with my parents. And so the rest of my life, every time my parents said something, I'm like, yeah, no, sorry. You don't really have any mojo with me anymore because you lied to me for 8 or 9 years about Santa Claus. So I don't believe anything else you say. But I mean, it's such a cultural thing. And I know ultimately we can sit there and say, well, it's just clean fun. But really, do you think God ever looks at our lying? Even if we can come up with some seemingly good reasons that it's just fun, it's not harming anybody. But that's why we need a savior, because we'll rationalize just about anything. John Piper on this issue hammers away. I might share that if I have time, but we're going to have our good friend, my good friend, Jim Dyer. I call him the evangelical Santa Claus. He's calling in from New York City because he's up there playing Santa with the Rockettes and their Christmas show. We'll hear from him and get some more background on Santa in the last segment. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. Wishing you a merry, merry Christmas, whether you play Santa Claus in your house or not. We'll be right back. Welcome back and Merry Christmas. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. And if you're wondering why my voice sounds this way, it's because I'm sick. So there you go. This is my Steve sounding sick voice. Plus, and just a little prayer request. I just found out the other day I have shingles, which is usually brought on by stress. I had chicken pox when I was a kid. So you still have that virus in you somewhere. And apparently stress brings it out. I don't act stressed out. I don't emotionally show stress. Mentally, I don't feel stressed, but my body shows it. Many of you know that I've struggled with vocal issues for the last year and a half, and God has mostly healed that. Praise the Lord. And I thank the Lord for that. But stress for me manifests itself physically. So right now, the latest incarnation is in shingles, which is kind of on my right shoulder and my right shoulder blade. And every once in a while, it feels like somebody's sticking a knife right in those areas. It's really nasty. So if you'd say a prayer for me, I would appreciate that. We're going to continue the show in just a second. But one of our other sponsors here on the show, one of our great partners, this is specific to you on the Truth Radio Network here in North Carolina, which is my home state. Everybody else can. You'll recognize this, of course. Oreck vacuum cleaners have been around for over 50 years now. But this Saturday here in North Carolina, they have stores across North Carolina. December 9th, 8 a.m. to noon, 4 hours only. They have just an awesome sale going on for Christmas. Their upright vacuums start at $149, which is a great price. Oreck's such a great machine. We have a couple of them at home. Air purifiers as low as $129. Handheld vacuums starting at $89. Plus, they have a free Oreck Spray Simple floor mop. That's the floor mop that, you know, sprays the stuff out in front of it. Those are awesome. You can get a free one there with the purchase of any full-size vacuum cleaner. So just a great sale if you're in the market for a wonderful, long-lasting vacuum cleaner. Oreck is the place to go. OreckCarolinas.com is the website, OreckCarolinas.com. Here in North Carolina, and you'll be able to find a location. They've got a bunch of them all around this great state. One last thing from John Piper, then I'm going to get to my favorite Santa Claus, who's calling in from New York City. John Piper, pulling no punches, talking about all these glorious realities of Jesus at Christmas time, right? To seek and save the lost, to save sinners, to give his life as a ransom for many, to call the righteous, not the righteous, but sinners. On and on it goes. And he talks about, it's mind-boggling to me that any Christian would even contemplate such a trade, that we would divert attention away from the incarnation of the God of the universe into this world to save us and our children. Not only is Santa Claus not true, and Jesus is very truth himself, but compared to Jesus, Santa is simply pitiful, and our kids should be helped to see this. Then at the end, he says, you know, go through every effort to make making your children as happy as they can possibly be with every kind of surprise that is rooted in the true meaning of Christmas. Let your decorations point to Jesus, your food, your games, your singing, out-rejoice the world, out-give the world, out-decorate the world, and let it all point to Jesus. If being Jesus-focused is a killjoy for your Christmas, you don't know him very well. And that's John Piper, who never pulls punches. And he makes some great points. But I think there is a third path here, where you can take advantage of what the world is doing. You can take advantage of a wonderful story and use it for kingdom purposes, and doing it in a way that glorifies God and helps people come to know the Jesus of the Gospels. And nobody does it better than my good buddy Jim Dyer, my favorite Santa Claus ever, the evangelical Santa Claus is what I call him. He's a dear friend from here in Raleigh. But where are you calling in from today, Jim? This is pretty awesome.
I'm calling in from New York City.
Now, how did the evangelical Santa from Raleigh end up in New York City?
I think it was just a blessing. That's the only answer I can give. And as I've listened to your show today, I have appreciated all the perspectives. And I've been recently reading David Kinnaman's book, Unchristian, about how critical we can be. I don't have any issues of folks being critical of Santa unless they do it with such a hate in their heart, and that hurts my feelings. I will say up front that being a Santa has been a calling for me. It has been a wonderful platform to share the gospel. In every picture that has been taken of me at Radio City, I have a Bethlehem star hanging around my neck, which I had specifically enlarged and made by a local silversmith, Dan Dye, there in Raleigh, that depicts the two most significant events of all time, the birth of Christ and the death of Christ for our sins. And being Santa has given me an opportunity to speak at Caraway Baptist Assembly with Grand Camp. When the grandparents came in and brought their grandchildren, I had an opportunity to share the real reason we celebrate Christmas. At Claus Fest in Gatlinburg, where there were 350 Santas, I had the privilege of delivering the Sunday morning service.
Wow.
And at Celebrate Santa, there were 850 Santas in Branson, and I was chosen to share the gospel on Sunday morning. Now, if I had not been a Santa, that would have never happened.
That's right, and God has placed you in very strategic places for all the years that I've known you as Santa Claus, and you've been a great steward of those opportunities, and it's brought much glory to God, and it's shared the gospel with countless people. How did you get into the whole Santa Claus world at all? How did that even start, Jim?
Well, in 1975, when Ruth Ann and I were I was still in the Army, we were the only couple on the street that didn't have any children. And we were sort of the go-to family for everything. And the neighbors asked me if I would do Santa that year. And I said, sure. And just seeing the joy in the children's faces, I thought, my, this is great fun. And when I retired from the Army, I grew a beard. And anyway, someone asked me to be Santa in the parade in Wake Forest. And I did that for 20 years. And as I grew in the business and learned more about Santa and St. Nicholas and the role that St. Nicholas played in the fourth century, he was a real personality who loved the Lord, was a patron saint of children. And I found out there are more churches named after St. Nicholas than any other person other than Jesus Christ.
Wow.
I did not. In itself.
I did not know that.
Makes a huge statement.
Wow. Amazing. Well, you brought up St. Nicholas, so take us into that history a little bit. This is an awesome story that I think we should certainly all be inspired by, and a great example to follow.
Well, St. Nicholas of Myra, I can't give you the exact dates, but the 4th century, was an adopted child by a wealthy family, and both of his parents died early, and he basically grew up in the church. He became a bishop and used his wealth to help those that were in need, and he kind of became a legend. He did it in secrecy. He was not tooting his own horn. It was not about him. It was just a gift from the kindness of a Christian heart. And, his legend grew, and I think others kind of followed after him. He set a good example of a Christian, sharing his material wealth. And that legend kind of grew and grew and grew. And he's called different things throughout Europe and the Far East. But Santa is an international figure. And in our culture, unfortunately, sometimes that messenger gets confused with the message. Right. St. Nicholas was a messenger. The message was about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And St. Nicholas made that clear. And some of the finest Santas I know on the planet, and I know a bunch of them, are Christian men that their drive in life is to share the good news of Jesus Christ through their platform of being Santa.
And so when you're playing Santa in certain situations, I mean, how does God weave that conversation to talk about Santa Claus and whoever you may be talking to or whatever group? How do you kind of naturally get into a gospel presentation? I'd love to hear you do that for us now, because we need to be sharing the gospel all the time, especially this time of year.
I find the transition is very easy. Quite often, every time I make a home visit, I carry a couple of things to entertain the children. Sometimes I've given the names in advance. I read the Night Before Christmas story, and then I pause and I say, now, let me tell you the real reason we celebrate Christmas. Can anybody tell me why? And every now and then a child will say, it's Jesus' birthday. And I said, exactly. And it's a good transition. And sometimes they have that little question on their face. I had the privilege of doing a home visit 2 years ago, and I was not aware of it, but the grandmother, I was aware that the grandmother was there, but she videoed me sharing the gospel with this little 7-year-old child. It was wonderful. She had shown it. She showed it to me later. I thought, wow, I was just so excited that the Lord was using me to share the gospel with this child. And she was just so eagerly looking in my face and nodding her head about the story. And often I'll read the story right out of Luke to the children. I usually use the NIV, and sometimes I use King James. It depends on where they've come from. You know, we as Christians can be critical of each other.
Yes, we can.
Which variation of the scriptures we use.
Right, right.
I find it's an easy transition. Yeah. Particularly when you're wearing the cross, and I wear the cross at every appearance that I make.
And what kind of cross is that called again?
It's called the Bethlehem Star. A local jeweler, Dan Dye, that's a silversmith. You've probably seen him at the state fair. And let me also make something else, make a correction. I do work at Radio City Music Hall, but I am the Santa in the lobby. I'm not actually on the stage.
They got to start you somewhere, buddy.
Yeah.
But that is so cool.
We're having a great time in New York.
Yeah, that's awesome. God bless you, Jim Dyer. Thank you for your work for the Lord and for sharing the gospel and taking advantage of that love for Santa Claus that he's given you. I appreciate you. I love you, buddy, and Merry Christmas.
Here. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, buddy. We'll see you again real soon. And there you go. What a great way to end talking about Santa Claus. We can use everything, and I do mean everything, to get to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord for my buddy Jim Dyer. He does it beautifully, and he tells people about Jesus, the reason for the season. This is Steve Noble. Tomorrow on Call to Action, Theology Thursday, the Holiday Blues with a great counselor. We'll see you then.